We're continuing to look at the Baptist Faith and Message. Tonight is Article 14 on cooperation. And I'm going to read the article and then we will discuss it. Christ's people should, as occasion requires, organize such associations and conventions as may best secure cooperation for the great objects of the kingdom of God. Such organizations have no authority over one another or over the churches. They are voluntary and advisory bodies designed to elicit, combine, and direct the energies of our people in the most effective manner. Members of New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forward the missionary, educational, and benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. Christian unity in the New Testament sense is spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation for common ends by various groups of Christ's people. Cooperation is desirable between the various Christian denominations when the end to be attained is itself justified, and when such cooperation involves no violation of conscience or compromise of loyalty to Christ and His Word as revealed in the New Testament. All right. Normally when you hear the word cooperation, you think about people working together, and that's certainly what the word involves. It reminds me of a story I read once about a fellow who passed by a building, and there was a guy with his desk that he was trying to get through this doorway. And he thought, well, he's never going to do that by himself. So he got on the other end and started helping the guy. It was a big desk, and they were struggling and everything. After about 10 or 15 minutes, the guy who was originally working with the desk said, man, I don't think we're ever going to get this thing out of here. And the other guy said, out? I thought we were trying to get it in. So cooperation is necessary in order to accomplish things. Sometimes we work at cross purposes to each other. Now, cooperation is one of those words that is not found in the Bible. You don't find the word cooperation. However, you do find it described. It's encouraged, promoted, and exemplified throughout the Bible. Words like fellowship, partnership, unity, etc. Those kinds of words emphasize the importance of cooperation among the people of God. The idea of working together or cooperation extends beyond individuals to churches and even groups of churches. The Baptist Faith and Message reminds us that Christian unity is spiritual harmony and voluntary cooperation for common ends by various groups of Christ's people. Our voluntary cooperation as Baptists is grounded in the fact that we share a common salvation and are called to common purposes that can best be accomplished by working together. For Southern Baptists, cooperation means worldwide kingdom work with others who share our faith, values, and worldview. We're going to read just four passages of Scripture. And you notice you didn't have Scripture to look up tonight because these are really the only ones that we're going to read. We'll make reference to others, but these are the only ones that we're going to read. And I have Nehemiah 3, and because the whole chapter is 32 verses, I'm not going to read the whole thing. All right, but I think if reading just a few verses, you'll get a sense of which one of these statements completes this, or which one corresponds to the Scripture here in Nehemiah 3. It says, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brothers the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zachar, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Hasanaah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the sons of Uriah, son of Hakaz, repaired. And next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, repaired. And next to them, Zadok, the son of Baana, repaired. All right, you get the gist. It's just more and more of that. So which one of these is it?
C,
that's right, the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And obviously, we have an example of cooperation. Everybody had a job, had a different responsibility to do. And in order to get the job done, they had to work, do it. And were they successful? Yes. They overcame enemies and other obstacles, internal strife even, to complete the rebuilding of the wall. You remember how long it took them? 52 days. 52 days. They did it. It was an incredible task. Why? Because of cooperation. Because they worked together. Acts 2, 44 through 47. Anybody look that up yet? All right, Linda.
All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness to their hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Okay, we could say a lot of things there, but what is the statement that fits that?
A.
Providing for believers in need. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. Most of you could quote this because I preached on it just last Sunday, so I'm sure you have it memorized. But who would like to read it? Do you have it, Laura? Go ahead. All right. So the answer there is
B,
using spiritual gifts to serve one another. Now, we know what the last one is, but let's read the scripture anyway. Mark 2, 3, and 4. Who has that? Anybody? Well, we won't read it then. The answer is D, bringing to Jesus a man who needed help. There are other New Testament examples of cooperation of believers from different churches. We have the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, where members from the church in Jerusalem and Antioch came together to discuss an issue. What was that issue? Anybody remember? It was whether or not Gentiles had to become Jews before they could become Christians, whether or not they had to be circumcised and keep the law. And that kind of thing, because there were some who were saying, you know, these Gentiles, they're not the people of God. They've not been given, you know, the law and the oracles and all that. So in order to really become Christians, they've got to become Jews first. And Paul was very adamant. No, that's not the gospel. And Peter even, you know, so that was the issue. So in order to deal with this theological question, the church came together, to work together to reach a conclusion. And then Paul's collection of an offering for the saints in Jerusalem. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 16:1, and mostly 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Both those chapters, I'm not going to read those. There's a lot there, but Paul, that's where we get a lot of the principles for giving. Giving cheerfully. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Giving sacrificially. How the Macedonian Christians were an example. They gave, first of all, they gave themselves, and then they gave according to the means and beyond their means and all that. All that was for the Christians in Jerusalem who were suffering. There was a drought, a famine, they were doing without. And so because they had been the mother church, had been responsible for the gospel going out to all these other areas, because they had benefited spiritually, they should be a blessing to the Jerusalem church materially. And they did. And so they cooperated. They worked together in order to meet needs. So these are just examples of where you see in Scripture the need for cooperation. But cooperation on an individual level, but also on a church-wide level. So it's important that we work together. We can do a lot more together than we can individually. And that's really why we we do it. Congregationalism is a deeply established Baptist principle, which means the congregation is the final say, or has the final say. We believe that the primary biblical understanding of the church is a local body of baptized believers that is responsible to God's authority. Yet we understand that just as Christians are not merely individual believers, disconnected from the body of Christ, individual Baptist churches are called to cooperate with other congregations for gospel purposes. Christianity is not essentially you by yourself with your Bible. Okay? It's a corporate relationship. We are put into the body of Christ when we are saved. Well, likewise, it's not just our church alone against the world. We need to work together with other like-minded congregations for gospel purposes. But, and this is a key qualifier, these cooperative associations are voluntary, not coercive, or coerced, whichever you prefer. In other words, there's not a hierarchy over beyond the local church that says you must do this. We choose to do so. However, let me explain something that many of you already know, but just in case, all right? Voluntary does not equal optional. Do you understand that? Just because it's voluntary doesn't mean it's optional. Just because I volunteered to do something in the church doesn't mean it's optional whether or not I do that. All right? I have a responsibility to do that. And likewise, just because our cooperation with other churches is voluntary, we don't have a hierarchical structure in our denomination that says you must do this, doesn't mean that, okay, we're just going to go off by ourselves and be ourselves and do what we want on our own. No, we must work together with other believers if we're going to accomplish something bigger than ourselves. So it's voluntary, but that doesn't mean it is optional. The Baptist Faith and Message states that Christians are to organize such associations and conventions as may best secure cooperation for the great objects of the kingdom of God. Historically, the first organized convention of Baptists in America grew out of foreign missionary needs. The reason why Baptists originally formed into associations was to do mission work. Foreign mission work. The Baptist Society for the Propagation of the Gospel in Foreign Parts was organized in Philadelphia in 1812. The city of brotherly love. There was brotherly love at one time. This resulted in the founding of the Baptist General Convention, including all Baptists in the United States. Meeting every 3 years, this Baptist General Convention was called the Triennial Convention. Eventually, primarily over the issue of whether slaveholders could be appointed as missionaries, the members and churches of the southern states withdrew. The issue was that many in the northern states were saying slaveholders cannot be appointed to be missionaries. We believe that slavery is an evil, and therefore slaveholders should not be allowed to be appointed as missionaries. And the southern churches said, you know, you may be right. It's not your call. All right? That's a local church issue. It's not your call to make. And so the southern churches broke away. Really, it was over the issue of congregationalism. You know, who's the final authority? They said the local church is. And so in 1845, the Southern Baptist Convention was organized in Augusta, Georgia. It was formed for the purpose of promoting both home and foreign missions. When the Southern Baptist Convention formed, it had one goal, one mission, and that was missions. Domestic, they call it domestic and foreign missions. Today, the Southern Baptist Convention conducts both North American and international mission work, supports six seminaries, and does other ministry through the financial support of individuals and churches who give voluntarily to the Co-Opera program and other special missions offerings. This is in keeping with the Baptist Faith and Message statement that members in New Testament churches should cooperate with one another in carrying forward the missionary, educational, and benevolent ministries for the extension of Christ's kingdom. All right. Let me just illustrate something. Those of you who've been through the Firm Foundation class already know this. You could probably teach. I could probably call somebody up here who's been through it recently and let you do this. But the way we do missions together cooperatively in the Southern Baptist Convention is that everything begins with the local church, all right? And local churches give to associations, like, for example, here, our association is the Metro Columbus Baptist Association, MCBA. Not O. And that's the churches in Franklin County and the adjacent counties, about 95 or so churches and missions. And we give money to the association. Anybody know how much we give? How much, what percentage our giving to the association is? I don't expect you to know it unless you, pardon me? It's 4%, all right, to the association. We just upped it. It was 3%. We upped it last year because of the Stowe Center purchase of the new building. So it's 4%. Four cents out of every dollar that we get in the regular budget offerings goes to the association. All right. And then there's the State Convention of Baptists in Ohio. All right. Approximately 700 churches and missions in Ohio. Now, we also give to them. Anybody know how much that is? It's 12.5%. 12.5. Now, this is our cooperative program giving. All right? The reason we give it to the state convention is because it goes through the state convention to the SBC, the executive committee of the SBC. In Ohio, every state convention has a different formula, but every state convention gets the money from all the churches in the state and sends a portion to the SBCA Executive Committee and then keeps a portion for itself for the work in the state. I can never remember what the formula is for Ohio. I think it's something like 60-40. 60% stays here, 40% goes on. All right? And so when you have all the churches and state conventions working like this, the money that goes to the Southern Baptist Convention amounts to a good bit, all right? And that's how we support missionaries, is the Co-Opera program money. That's how we support the seminaries. Now, the majority of the support for our missionaries comes from the Co-Opera program. However, we have some special missions offerings, right? Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions, Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American missions. Those two offerings come close to half of the budget for those missionaries. But most of it comes from the Co-Opera program. So this is how we're able to support missionaries. This is why we work together. This is why we give, is so that we can, in turn, say, you know, not just say, but so that we can have over 5,000 missionaries in over 120 countries in the world. Or in North America, a similar number of missionaries doing all kinds of different things. So that's one of the ways that we cooperate with other churches, is we give. There are other ways as well, but with most mission agencies, the missionaries have to raise their own support to be able to go to the mission field. And many of you have been associated with people who've done that. We support some folks here, some of you individually, we as a church, some folks who have to do that, who have to raise their own support. Southern Baptist missionaries don't do that, all right? Once they are appointed, then they're on the field, and their support is provided by the Cooperative Program and the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. I just want to share that so that you understand, if you didn't already, kind of how that works and how cooperation benefits not just us, not just the missionaries, but those that they are serving on the mission field. Yes. I believe they do pay their own travel out of. Now, they continue to be paid while they're here in the States, their regular salary. But I believe they are responsible for those travel expenses. I know they are on the field while they're here. Back and forth from the field, I'm not 100% sure, but I think so. Don't hold me to that. But I know that while they're on the field, they are responsible for their travel. And they do travel a lot. They go to a lot of places. My brother and his wife are at the state convention tonight. And, you know, that travel they take care of. Anywhere that they go, they're responsible for. That's why whenever they go to a church or go somewhere, usually the church will give them some kind of honorarium or something like that. So, but as far as to and from the field, I don't know for sure, but I think they pay it. Of course, I'll probably find out from my brother that I was wrong about that. But anyway. All right. Baptists believe in spiritual unity rather than organic union. Okay. Let me explain. For this reason, Southern Baptists have refused to become involved in various ecumenical movements. For example, the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches, whose stated ultimate goals are organic union of all church groups. The National Council of Churches accepts only denominational bodies as members. Denominational bodies only. But the Southern Baptist Convention has no authority to commit the churches because every Southern Baptist church is autonomous, with the congregation as the sole authority under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So we couldn't be a part of the National Council of Churches or World Council of Churches if we wanted to. Not that we want to. Because of they only accept denominations, and the Southern Baptist Convention is organized such that we are an independent Baptist church who chooses to voluntarily cooperate with other Southern Baptist churches. But, you know, we're autonomous. That 4% and that 12.5%, who determines that? You do. The finance committee makes a recommendation. The church votes on the budget, and thus it's the congregation that has the final say. All right. However, Southern Baptists do cooperate with other churches and even other denominations in matters of mutual interest which do not compromise their faith and practice as they understand the teachings of the New Testament. According to the Baptist Faith and Message, such cooperation is desirable when the end to be attained is itself justified and when such cooperation involves no violation of conscience or compromise of loyalty to Christ and His Word as revealed in the New Testament. So, in terms of cooperating with other ministries and other churches or denominations, who makes that decision? Well, you decide whether or not you're going to participate in a particular ministry or organization or whatever. But who decides if Reynoldsburg Baptist Church is going to join with, you know, a group of churches for a particular cause or particular event? Who decides that? The congregation does. That's right. Pastors may make recommendations, but the congregation, the local church, makes that determination. The state convention doesn't do it for us. The association doesn't do it. Southern Baptist Convention doesn't do it. The local church, we do it. Now, different churches will decide different things because every church is autonomous. Some churches will say, you know, we can participate in this. We think it doesn't compromise our faith or our practice, and so we're going to participate in this. And you might get another church in the same, you know, same association that says, we can't do that. Sorry. We're just not going to do that. And it's because we are autonomous. But we should, whenever there is a good purpose, a gospel purpose, when it doesn't compromise what we believe, who we are, anything about us, we should seek to cultivate other gospel relationships, relationships with other ministries and churches that promote the gospel of Christ. Because we can do more working together than we can just by ourselves. No. No.
But we are still helping with Bob.
Yes. Yes. The non-Southern Baptist ministry that we're supporting right now would be Bob Cochran with Wycliffe Bible Translators. I don't think we're doing any others. Some of you, I know, individually support Naomi Reddington. She's with the team. And, you know, I'm all about if an individual is with a missions organization or is doing mission work that is like-minded, is gospel-centered, truly doing good work, letting people know about that, giving people the opportunity to make that decision if they want to support that person, whether the church actually undertakes to support, you know, someone or not.
So at the present time, we're not supporting any churches who are trying to give
establishment either? We're supporting. We give to two churches in our association on a regular basis. It's not much. I'm somewhat embarrassed at what it is. But anyway, two churches that very much need and appreciate our help. Neither of them... Well, one of them has been around for a while. It's gone through some changes. It's used to be Stelzer Road Baptist Church, United Faith International Baptist Church. Their pastor and some of their folks have been here. I think the choir came with them, Reggie Hayes. I don't know if you remember that. It was on a Sunday night. And then another church down in Laurelville. It's Laurel Valley Baptist Church. We support them. It's a very small church, rural church. We do support them. But both those churches are part of our association. But I mean, I would be all in favor of giving more if, you know, the congregation were open to it. But anyway. Any other questions? All right. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the Christian and the Social Order, Article 15.